Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem, and we're so glad you could join us for another timeless message from my dad, Pastor Salem. Recently, we received a letter that really touched our hearts. It reads, "Thank you for continuing to broadcast Pastor Salem's sermons. You brought me back to the Lord when I had strayed afar. He preached the Bible, which is very important to me. I know that I continue to need forgiveness." Letters like this remind us why the Christian Worship Hour exists, to faithfully share God's word and point hearts back to Christ. Wherever you're listening from, we trust today's message, the importance of forgiving, will bring hope, clarity, and encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And oh, are we ever happy to come. Every week rolls by, and it's all every week we get letters from people that go on to be with the Lord. But here we are, another week, and we're going to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ all over the world, the people of God. And then we're praying that many will join us as they put their faith in Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 70, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward for their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified." And then the psalmist said, "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a kind Heavenly Father, and that you watch over us, and you do not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. And we thank you that when we have our time of trouble, as we all will in this world, you are there to help us and lift us and guide us. So we love you, Heavenly Father, and pray that you'll bless this service to honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's going to start us out with a song, "I Call It Home," and God bless you, Barb.
The grave, there's a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand, and for the sake by grace, there is a resting place, and in a few more days it will be mine. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, oh let me dream on. Some call is yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. in paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. I call it heaven, some call
Well, we all like to hear about heaven, and but you know, like the old saying is, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there, and how do you get there? And Jesus talked about that. He's gone to the cross, and he shed his blood to pay for our sins, and he's been buried in the grave 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then he's going to ascend back into heaven, and he tells his disciples, he gathers them together. He says, I'm going to leave you, and they're all worried about it. And then he said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, don't be worried. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You notice what he says there? It's not enough to believe in God to get home. You have to believe in Jesus, too. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also, forever and ever and ever. Thomas saith unto him, O Lord, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven more than anything else, but I don't know the way. How do I get there? And then Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, nobody gets to heaven, but by me. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. That's why I love to preach it, because it is so simple that a little child can understand. I was 10 years old. I've got a daughter, Patty. Well, I was 10 when I accepted the Lord. She accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now. And that was just took with her the minute she opened her heart to the Lord. So that's what we preach. Take Jesus, ask him to come into your heart. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, we just have to share them with you. And so here's the first one we got is Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm nearly 85 years old. I'm legally blind. So I get to church when someone takes me. I really get scared when your program moved to another day, Saturday, and station, Daystar. But I found you. You're a blessing to me and many others to do what you are doing at your age. Thank you and stay well. And so here she's rejoicing because she's listening to the Word of God. That's what we preach all the time. We fill our messages with the Word of God. And like the psalmist says in Psalm 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey to the honeycomb. Beautiful, beautiful words of God. Trust the Lord and love the Lord. Here's one, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Now, here's an interesting letter. And this and writes, this is a daughter's writing. And her dad has gone to be with Jesus, and she writes, thank you for your calls and correspondence with my dad. He was a faithful watcher of your program, and he does discuss the sermon with us each week. In your letter, and I'd written to him, in your letter you told him, since I'm older than you, I'll probably get to heaven first, so I'll be at the gate to greet you. She says, now dad will be at the gate to greet you. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I tell you, I just can't wait to see so many of these wonderful friends. And I'm going to see all of you. And oh, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. And we'll see Jesus and we'll worship Jesus. Well, let me see. Here's one that says, Sioux City. Watching the Christian Worship Hour has made me a better person inside. I pray so much more. Living with God is good, is a good life, even living alone. Keep up the good works and keep going. And so this dear person, she's talking about the Lord. She's looking forward to heaven. And that person inside of her, she says, I'm a better person. That person inside of her, that's her soul. And her soul is going to be with Jesus someday. When he's ready, he'll take us home. I believe that God has a time set for every one of his children to come. And when that time comes, he takes us home. And that's a glorious homecoming. Now let me look at here. What do we got? Port Orchard, Washington. Keep up the good works, old-time preacher man. Well, old preacher man. When I started preaching in 1944, June 1944, I had a little old lady in the church. I was 23 years old, and this little old lady called her preacher man. Well, now here's this one lady writing in, but it's not just preacher man, it's old preacher man. And boy, I guess so. I come from a different century. Love these letters. Oh, let me see. What is this here? Helena, Montana. Please send me 5 copies of Heart of a Shepherd. I want to share them with my 4 daughters and their spouses, and 1 for me in the church I attend. I live in the mountains of Montana on the Divide side. I get snowed in much of the winters. It's during that time that I attend your service on television. A great blessing. Thank you, and God bless you. And so, oh yeah, she'll be up there. If she's up in those Rocky Mountains, she'll be there a long time. And I thought, what do they do when they get a toothache? And so I guess they got helicopters. I don't know, but it'd be a problem, looks to me. Let me see. Here's Ankeny, Iowa. It's me, John, writing this. You and I have a lot in common. I was born on a farm in 1921, that's my year. Grew up with the sheep, tied wool in a wool box and paper twine. Lost father at an early age. However, I never accepted Jesus at age 10, but at age 50. Never too early or too late, right? We will probably meet, but we'll look up our new address. Maybe we'll be next door until then. And wouldn't that be something? I'd be in heaven next door to a sheep herder. And then on the other side, we'd have the cowboys. And would we ever have a wonderful time? We'll have a wonderful time. I don't know what God has planned, but it'll just be glorious. God does all the good things in life comes from the God. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above, James tells us. And all the devil does is torment us. So the next time you have your stub your toe, it comes from the devil. And the next time you smell a rose, it comes from God. See, God is so good. Here's a letter from Alden, Michigan. I'm writing to you to let you know how much the Lord has moved in my life since I first written to you. I watch your program every Sunday. I'm not able to get out. I've recommitted myself to Jesus. I'm back to doing daily devotionals. Pray, thank you, and I pray for you and your staff. And when I read that, it reminded me of the people of Malachi. And Malachi preached to them, and they had drifted away, and they came back. And this is what Malachi writes in Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17. After he preached to them and they committed themselves to the Lord, Malachi says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And God tells us we're just like precious jewels, purchased at a great price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we pray, because in this, when we preach, we urge people to come to Jesus. But some of you come to Jesus and you drifted away. And so you can do like the people of Malachi. They came back and they gave themselves anew to the Lord. God used them and they rejoiced in there, part of his wonderful jewels. And so we're just so thankful for all these letters, and we hope that you'll write. And when you write, maybe you want to send us a gift. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have a little Bible study that we put out, and this month, the month of March, it's Jesus, My Friend. And so you just ask for it's called the New Song, a New Song, or just put Bible study. And then if you'd like to get that film, A Heart of a Shepherd, it is a wonderful verse. It is written to help people come to Jesus. And we're getting all kinds of letters of people that show this. And we got a letter from Malaysia, and they showed it there, and it spoke to the people's hearts. So God is in it. It's a film dedicated to God. And we send it on a free will offering basis. And let me give you the address again. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And when you write, if you can help us, we'd appreciate it, because you know we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we wouldn't have it any either way, because God's word is God will pay his way just like the next person. And you know how he pays it? Through his people. We're not underwritten by any organization, any denomination or corporation. It's just God's people all over the world. And maybe you live in Norway. And it says, oh, I'd like to send something. I don't know how to send it. Well, you get somebody to help you. Just get on your internet and you look up Christian Worship Hour. And then there'll be a place on there that says donate. And then you punch that little button, donate. And then you put in whatever you're going to give us. And then you put it in your money of Norway, and we'll get it in finances and according to the United States, and we'll pay our bills. It's a miracle how that works. And so we just have to have your help. And I know what somebody's saying, probably Dad's saying, oh, I don't know what, that's a long ways over there. And maybe you're here in this country and they say, I don't know what they do with that money. How do we know what he does? But he's got a big fancy car somewhere. And how would you know? I bet he got a fancy house. Well, I'll tell you how you can be sure. We are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year. They drive us crazy. They're under our feet all the time. They're spending time, and they'll spend several days, and they check every penny, how we get it and where we spend it. And when they're done, they give us a stamp that says, approved. You're a full member of the organization, and you pass the bill. Yes, we're not ashamed at all. We need help, and we send help, and we use it for God's help. So let me give it one more time, especially for our shortwave people, and that is the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now we ask you just pray, Lord, should I help these people? And then he'll say yes or no, and then you say how much, and he'll tell you, and then you send it. So Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray first, then she's going to play, and then you pay. You give as the Lord lays on your heart. Lord, we thank you for speaking to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Matthew chapter 18, and I always forget to give you that ahead of time, but you can find Matthew all right. If we read Habakkuk, it might be a little different, but Matthew. And Matthew chapter 18, and this is a parable Jesus gave. And we're going to read it, and then we're going to preach about it. And so we'll start with verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment until payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we're going to pray, and as you know, every week we pray for the persecuted church, and we're going to pray for the church in Bangladesh today. Dear Lord, thank you for this story. It's so powerful, and it teaches us such a lesson that we take grace, but we don't give it to anybody else. And Lord, we know that isn't right. And so I pray you'll speak to my heart, Lord, and the heart of your people all over the world, that they'll not hold grudges, but will be forgiving, and that they'll be kind-hearted and tender-hearted one to another. And help us to know, dear Lord, we had a debt that we couldn't possibly pay to you because it was a debt beyond all of our means. So Jesus came and paid our debt with his own blood. So, Lord, give us and help us to understand that. Now, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh. Maybe they're tuned into us, Lord, because by television, by a short wave, we reach all these areas, many of these areas where the persecuted church exists, and they were worshiping with us right now. And we're mindful of them, and we love them, and we want to encourage them. And they're a great challenge to us so that we give our life fully to you as they do and live for you and honor you. Lord, help all of these dear ones having troubles to know that you said in this world you're going to have tribulation, but you said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And they're going to live to see that. So, Lord, bless us all in this service. Turn our eyes to you and help us to be in the center of your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Melissa, before I sing, Melissa's going to sing, I Can Only Imagine. So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And I guess that's it. Just only dream, only imagine. Because when God makes something, he makes it perfect. And he's making pieces. I prepare a place for you. And he's making that beautiful place. And we're going to spend eternity there. If we know Jesus, you can't get that. Jesus is the door. He's the way to God. He's the way to heaven. And you have to ask Jesus into your heart. Trust him as your Savior. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I just ask you, please, come into my heart. Take away my sins, dear Jesus. And I'll follow you the best I can. You won't be perfect. There's nobody perfect. But you put the old sins away as best you can. And when you fail, you ask Jesus to forgive you, and he always forgives you. And you walk with him, and someday he'll call you. And I'm 97 years old now. I have so many friends, so many loved ones that have passed on over. I can't hardly wait to see them. And Jesus has helped me so many ways. I just don't want to see him. And so that's what God will prepare for us. But you have to accept Jesus. You have to take him into your heart. In your own way, just say to forgive your sins. And you say, well, I'm not much at praying. Well, you just talk to Jesus. Forget the praying and just talk to Jesus and tell him, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you, take them away. Walk to all them away. And Lord, I'll follow you the best I can. You can do that and then thank him, see? And I'll see you in heaven. Oh, won't that be glorious? Well, we have a sermon today, and it's for Christians. And so you need to tune in. If you're not a Christian, you just kind of listen to what the Christians, what we're doing. And then we're going to give the invitation again to urge you to become a Christian if you haven't accepted the Lord. And it's a story that Jesus gave in Matthew's gospel. And it's a truth for Christians, for people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that have accepted the Lord. It's a subject of forgiving others. And it's a matter that Jesus spoke of often. And it's a question, this story was given in answer to Peter. And they're by Galilee, at Capernaum, by the Sea of Galilee. And Peter asked Jesus a question. He's talking about fellow believers. And he's asked him a question about what do we do if somebody sins against us? And that's going to happen, sure as the world. And so Jesus talks to him. And here he is, this follower of the Lord, a follower of the Lamb. He's one of God's children. He's one of God's sheep. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when this matter of sin comes up, then he has a problem. And so then Jesus, he knows that we are going to be sinned against, and people are going to do things that they may be intentional or not intentional. It may be real or it may be imagined. Sometimes we imagine things. I had a lady one time, and she quit church. And I went to see her. Her name was Anna. And I said, Anna, what is the problem here? We always were in church. Now you aren't with us anymore. And she says, well, they all laugh at me when I come to church, and I'm not coming anymore. And I couldn't imagine that. This was out at Belfouche. We had a little church. We had about 50, 60 people. We didn't have them starting out. We didn't have hardly anybody. And what happened was she came just a little bit late. And some of us were up front, and I told them a joke. And I like to tell jokes. And once in a while, they'll laugh at it. And they laughed as she came through the door, and she was done. Thought they were laughing at her. And so sometimes we have these problems, and we're fussing with them, and the offenses come, and they're nothing to them, really. It's just, we imagine it. And so just don't get so thin-skinned in a way, see? So Jesus talking about how we get offended. And so Jesus talks to him, and he says, and Peter talks to him, and he says, dear Jesus, now how many times should I forgive my brother? Should I forgive him seven times? Now that was magnanimous for Peter, because the rabbis taught that you should forgive them three times, and after that there's no more forgiveness. That's what he was taught at the synagogue. And so he says, should I give him seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That was a brand new teaching for Peter, believe me. And it was amazing. It was unbelievable. And it's unimaginable. 70 times seven. Good grief. How you keep record with all of that? That would be 490 times you forgive a person. If you're counting, Jesus wasn't saying to be counting. Jesus is saying in so many words, you always forgive. You always forgive. And you know, that's the way God is with me. That's the way God is with you. How many times have I gone to the Lord and said, dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for that sin. Maybe I was jealous of somebody. Maybe I was envious. Maybe I lost my temper. Maybe I had bad thoughts about something. And so I go to Jesus and I tell him, Jesus, I'm sorry. When I started out, I had a kind of a temper you had the milk cows. I got mad at the milk cows. And then I'd ask the Lord to forgive me. And then the next day I'd do the same thing. I asked the Lord to forgive me. And you say, how many times will he forgive you? Oh, I think he's probably forgiven me 100,000 times in my life. He always forgives me. And when I go to him, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'll forgive you. If you're honest and you're trying, I'll forgive you. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so there must be no limit to the number of times we forgive a repentant brother or sister. And that's why he gave this story. And then this was given way, way at the beginning of this century, of this A.D. It was sometime between around 30 A.D., somewhere in there. And it's a wonderful lesson, and it's just as honest, it's just as good today as it was then. He's teaching us this wonderful thing. And this is what he did. He says about here, he says, this certain king had a lot of property, and he loaned a lot of money. And then one day, as we read, he decided, well, I want to settle my accounts. And the Living Bible says, to bring his accounts up to date. And the accounting proceeded among his servants until he came to one that owed him an unheard of amount. He owed the king 10,000 talents. In United States currency, that would be $10 million. That's more than some little kingdoms were worth. And so he's a hopeless situation. And he says, $10 million. And furthermore, the servant had not so much as a penny with which to pay the $10 million debt. And I can imagine that the king was very upset, to say the least, that this man had run up this account and hadn't paid a penny and didn't have a penny. And so in the 25th verse of this 18th chapter, for he commands, but for as much as he had nothing with which to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, until payment was made. Now, that wasn't anything out of line. That's the way they did it in those days. If you owed a man an amount of money and you couldn't pay, he could put you in jail. He could put your wife and your children in jail. And sometimes they did. They had no heart at all. And so when he threatens him, that's something very real and something very common. And so we're told that the servant, therefore, in the 26th verse, fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I'll pay thee all. We're not told where this poor soul is going to get $10 million. He says, I'll pay it. Don't put me in jail. And I'll pay all of it back. Now, I don't know where he's going to get $10 million, but that's what he said. And I suspect that the king knew that this little bird isn't going to come with $10 million. The man that loaned the money knew he wasn't going to get that money back. Nevertheless, we read, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, keep this in mind, the word forgave, because that's what this parable is all about, is about forgiving. And the king forgave him the debt. Unbelievable, but it is true. The debt was forgiven, and it means it was paid in full. It was gone. It would never be faced again. He was a free man, set free. And so then the forgiven servant goes out. And what does he do? He searches out a man that owes him money, not $10 million. He owes him about $2,000. And that's right, $10 million against $2,000. And what does this ornery cuss do? In verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. That's what the forgiven man did to this poor soul. So Jesus has given us a story that we can hardly believe. How can a man act like that? Yet when we take a closer look at the humanity, we aren't at all surprised, because sometimes can be pretty heartless and forgiving, whether it's money or whether it's something else or they've crossed you or something like that, is hard to forgive. And so we read then in the 31st verse to 35, So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very angry, and they came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his servant was angry, and his lord was angry, and delivered him to the inquisitors till he should pay all that was due. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. This is an amazing parable on forgiving. So now let's look at some of the lessons that God gives us here. The parable does not deal with salvation. He's not talking about salvation. So don't forget that. Sometimes we hear people say, if you don't forgive others, then God won't forgive you and you'll go to hell. That's not what this is teaching. You can have unforgiveness in your heart, and if you're a child of God, you're still going to heaven, period. And he's not teaching that. This parable is teaching not that this at all. The parable is teaching us to forgive our brothers and sisters for the sake of fellowship with each other in the family. That's what he's teaching. He's not teaching whether you be saved or lost. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about fellowship and working together and loving each other in the home and in the church and in the community. You're fellow believers. We live by a different rule. We're not the rules of the world. They've got another set of rules. But this is what God is telling us. We need to be forgiving people. Our salvation is not lost. You cannot lose your salvation. If you've accepted Jesus, you have everlasting life. And you see it, some people say, well, I don't understand, because why then do I ask for forgiveness of sins? Why do I forgive God, to ask God to forgive me? Why do I forgive others? It's just like this. Here's a man, he has a son, and he loves that son. And then the son turns against him and goes off into sin. You remember the prodigal son? Now this man, this father is hurt. And it is not, and that it's not that he's not a son anymore. It's just that his fellowship with his dad is concerned. His fellowship is broken. His relationship, he's still his son, no matter what he does. And that's the way it is when we accept Jesus Christ and we're born again. We are his child. And that'll never change and that'll never end. But that fellowship between us and God and our neighbors, maybe it's your husband, maybe your wife. I read about one man. He was a deacon in the church. And in this one of the services, the pastor asked him, John, would you pray for us? And John stood up and he says, I can't pray. I can't pray. He says, on the way to church, I had an argument with my wife. I can't pray. And he couldn't pray till he made up with his wife. And then he could pray. And there's a lot to that with God. If we're angry with our brothers and our sisters and those around us, we lose that wonderful fellowship. And so just remember this. It doesn't teach that we can lose our salvation. We can lose that fellowship. And remember this too, salvation is a gift. And that wonderful, wonderful gift that God gives us, we don't work to get it. Because if we worked for it, it wouldn't be a gift. It'd be a salary. It would be a reward or something like that. And God tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies, he will save us. And just remember too what we're told in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Your works will never get you into heaven. It's faith in Jesus Christ that gets you heaven. Romans 4, verse 5, let me read it again. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Again, we're told, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This parable deals with the Christian people and our relationship with each other, not our salvation. Our salvation is dependent on not how well we forgive others, but if we've accepted Jesus Christ, and that settles that. Now, this parable also teaches us that unforgiveness is a terrible sin, to live that way, not forgiving. This is shown in the parable when Jesus when the king became so angry at the unforgiving servant. It's a terrible thing not to forgive a brother and a sister. Matthew Henry says, unmercifulness is wickedness. It's great unwickedness and great wickedness. One reason that unforgiveness is such a terrible sin is because it portrays a spirit of pride, that we're above that. And Warren Wiersbe talks about it. When you have an unforgiving spirit, you think you are better than other people. They all make mistakes, but you never make a mistake. And it's way off base. And then another thing about it. This parable teaches that it is a sin to harbor wrongs. How often here we hear people drag up things that took place years and years ago. I had a woman who was angry with her husband, and she came to him to tell about how bad he was. And she actually had a slip of paper, and some of it went back 10 years. Lord, have mercy. And they're having troubles in their marriage, see. And she's got this list, and she's bringing the list to me. Well, we often drag up the things that take place years and years ago. You talk about elephants having a long memory. Well, I'm going to tell you, some of these offended souls make an elephant look like an absent-minded professor. They never forget a wrong, whether it's intention or not. Jesus is teaching in this parable, we have to forgive and we have to forget. And I'm going to tell you personally, it isn't easy. But it's got to be done for your own welfare and for the kingdom's work. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:5, in the New International Version, love keeps no record of wrongs. And somebody else said, too many Christians are long on memory and short on forgiveness. And sometimes if we think about these wrongs, we mull them over and over. And the longer we talk about them, the worse it gets. I read a story about a little boy, and he had a pet cat. And the cat died. And he mourned several days until his mother laid down the law, you've got to bury that cat. And so the little fellow buried his pet cat, but he left just part, not all of it, but he just couldn't part with it, so he left the tail sticking up over the ground. He buried it with the tail sticking up, and a day or two he felt so wanted, he wanted to see his cat. And he went out there and grabbed it by the tail and jerked it up, and it looked worse than when he buried it. It looked terrible. And he buried it again but left the tail sticking up. And after a few more days, he went and he pulled it up, and he says, oh, dear, I'm going to have to bury this cat, tail and all. And that's what it's got to be, friends, because you hurt yourself. I hurt myself. And you won't be happy living like that. And so when we come, with the little boy says, I'll have to bury the tail and all. I'm saying, Harold, you've got to bury the tail and all. You can't carry any of that stuff. It's a root of bitterness in your soul. And so, friend, we need to do that. And then remember this, too. God's forgiveness covers all of our sins. No matter what the sin or transgressions might be, we just have to learn to forgive and to forget. Think of the wonderful grace of God, how he has fully pardoned us, how he's washed them away, how he's taken our sins and they're there no more. Think of how he's done that, and we have to do likewise, don't we? Arthur E. G. Patskia writes this about an example of God's grace and forgiveness. He tells about David's sin with Bathsheba, and then he comments and he gives this note. He says, Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2, record the cry of repentance. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. God did forgive and cleanse David and gave David continue to rule Israel as their king. God's forgiveness was immediate and it was total, and the effects of it was stated by David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Neither God nor the people of Israel believed this sin was disqualifying David as their king. They forgave him. And likewise, believers have no divine right to withhold forgiveness from somebody that God has already forgiven. And we don't forgive them, but God forgives them. It's a final analysis that we are just like that unmerciful servant. We expect God forgive us, but we don't treat others with forgiveness. Like the elder brother, you remember when the prodigal son came back, and the prodigal son was so jealous and upset. Here he says, I work all this time, and this scamp comes back, and he spent all of your investments and all of his inheritance, and now you're going to kill the fatted calf and celebrate because your son came back. We find he couldn't forgive that boy, that brother. He just held it against him. But the story is you need to forgive. And I'm talking to myself too. I'm in the same boat. The parable teaches us that any of us may need forgiveness sometime or another. We all need to be forgiven. So that's why we have to forgive other people. It's always a distinct possibility that we might commit the very sins we hardly condemn in other people. We are all capable of committing the very worst sins. That's what Paul tells us. You can think you wouldn't do it, but you could do it. You find yourself doing it. I've worked with these people so many times because that old sinful nature is there. When we accept Jesus, we're born again and we have a new nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have the nature of Christ, but we have the old nature too, and they strive against each other. And that thing can rise up and strike us down at any time. And at my age of 97, I'm so careful. I'm trying to be so careful that I don't do something stupid and something wicked and wipe out all of that testimony that I have for Jesus. We have to work at it. And so this is what I have to do. We need to come to the Lord and get it right with the Lord. But if you don't know Jesus, you can't forgive because it's a divine thing. You can't do it by yourself. And so if you don't know Jesus, and you want to forgive a friend, you get right with God yourself and say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. I'll forsake my sins, follow you. And then if you do that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And when you write, you tell us about yourself, and maybe we can your letter will help us to help somebody else. And if you want to have our little Bible study, there's a call, the new song, new song. Or if you'd like to have the film, the Heart of a Shepherd, it was sent out on a free and postpaid. And if you have it, can make a gift. Otherwise, we'll send it free and postpaid. And we get people say, I don't have a penny, but I want it. So we send it to you. And always remember that all of your gifts are watched over by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So I hope that you'll write. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful salvation. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to be forgiving. And dear Lord, bless your people wherever they are. Help them and lead them and guide them. And give them the joy of their salvation. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank all of you for tuning in, being with us. And I want to tell you, every service we have, I tell you about this. I tell you that God loves you. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, my sins are too bad. God's sins are never too big for God, and he'll wash them away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God loves you, and the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And that's why we carry on now for over 40 years, we've had that same message, and we've heard from a multitude of people that have come to Jesus, and you can come to Jesus. No matter what your sins are, you just come to Jesus. And finally, I want you to know that I love you. And if I could make that decision for you to accept Jesus, just say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart, please, and take away my sins. Thank you, Jesus." And you'll experience the love of God. And the wonderful love of God will never end. It will last forever as long as you live. And when we get to heaven, that love of God will be displayed even in a greater way. So we love you and we care for you. And we hope that we hear from you. And all just think of this. The love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. And that right you can never put into words. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you next week, the Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.